he has, what God has given him.
Yes,
we thank you and pray blessing over him and his family in Jesus' name.
All right, thanks. Thank you, Lord. Where's Elizabeth at? She had to take the baby out. Okay. God's got something incredible for her. So we'll get to prophesy over her a little bit later. But I just felt such a sense of his glory visiting us in this room this morning. How many people are just picking up on that? And just that song of holy. You know, all the angels sing for all eternity around his throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And as that chorus sang, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy, holy,
praise
holy,
praise
holy,
Jesus.
Holy, holy, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love, sing it with me.
Yeah.
Holy, holy,
oh,
holy. Holy, 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 Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. One more time. Holy, 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 holy. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. We love you. You know why you love him so much? That's true, because he loves you. But you know why else? It's the first part, because he's so holy. What does that mean? There is no impurity in him. Therefore, his love is unadulterated. His love is pure and kind. His love keeps no records of wrongs. His love doesn't count up like we do. His love is not human. It's otherworldly. His love is incomprehensible. His love is insurmountable. Nothing can conquer this love. That's why you love him. I realize that's why I love him. Because I can trust that kind of love. I can trust that. And I believe this year that love is going to bring new levels of freedom into your life like never before.
That's right.
I think Tracy just was talking about this is exactly what the Lord put on my heart this morning, is to talk about his freedom for the next couple of weeks. This morning, particularly what God brings, what the Holy Spirit brings, what that love of Jesus brings is freedom from sin. Whew, everybody's favorite topic. Freedom from sin. Well, you know what? I really didn't want to talk about this morning. Let me just be completely honest with you. The Lord said, Matthew, I want you to talk about freedom from sin today. I'm like, God, come on. Do I have to talk about sin? I mean, I know it's important, but Lord. He's like, no, Matthew. This is the most beautiful thing that you could ever talk about. Why is it the most beautiful thing, Lord? Because, Matthew, the freer and freer that you have gotten, the freer and freer that you get, the more liberated is your soul to love. And the more liberated is your soul to love, the freer you feel. And the freer you feel, the more you give back. And the more you give back, the more you feel a connection with your Father like never before.
That's right, Jesus.
Talking about sin is the most freeing thing, the most beautiful thing that we could ever do. Remember, shortly after, right after his baptism, Jesus was led away into the wilderness. Remember in Matthew chapter 3, to be tempted, right? We know he never sinned. He didn't give in to that temptation. But what was the first thing that he was tempted with? Well, he'd been fasting for 40 days, so maybe you can relate over this past week. The devil came and said, hey, just turn this stone to bread. He's like, no, because man doesn't live on what? Bread alone, but on one. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The most important thing for us in our whole Christian lives is that very thing. It's to be able to hear and to see what God is saying and doing, right? Now, what stands in the way of that? Sin. It does. Now, why is it, though, that sin is? I heard this analogy from a guy one time, and this has always stuck with me. He said, you see, the mind of your heart where you hear and receive from the Lord, it's like a movie screen, okay? And it's like a movie screen, and what the purity of the Holy Spirit is that screen sees in high definition, 4K quality with no blemishes. And the sound is impeccable. I mean, it is Dolby Digital surround sound with the crystal clearest. That is true connection. Now, a few weeks ago, we took the kids to the movies, right? We went to see Frozen 2. And we went in there, and I had bought the tickets online. And without realizing which showing I bought the tickets for, I didn't even know this existed, honestly. But at this theater over there at the mall in Durham, they have sensory sensitivity showings. Does anybody know that? I bought sensory sensitivity showings, and I didn't even know it. Terrible. Don't do it, because you go in there, and they don't turn the lights down. Like, there's lights on the whole time. I mean, they dim them a little bit. And the sound, like the movie started, I'm like, it's just really low. And I understand why for people who need that. But for normal folks like us, like, wait, what is Elsa saying? I can't hear it. You know, it's like driving me crazy. And I was thinking about that analogy of like, that's what sin does to my soul. Wow. Is it mutes the rhema word. The very thing that gives you life is it starts to distort. You can't, well, what is that, Lord? You can sort of hear it, but there's this cloudiness. And then that screen is like, how many remember the old rabbit ears? You know, if you'll just stand up there and hold it, then maybe you can get that picture quality to come in just right. I realize that's the devastating effect since Adam and Eve of sin from the garden, of that fateful choice that they made to disobey God. As it like blurs the screen. I can't quite see, like, Jesus, I love you so much, but where are you? Where are you at? What am I hearing? It's a beautiful thing. Because Paul wrote, I think in Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's freedom. And we think of freedom as freedom to, and we'll get to that, to do things, and that's true. But the greatest aspect of freedom is a freedom from something.
Come on.
It's the righteousness of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's freedom from sin, from the grip, from the death hold of sin. Now, if you're like me, and I have a feeling you are, because we're all pretty much the same humans, for years, even as a believer, there have been these nagging things that just don't seem to want to let go. Hello? Am I alone in the room? And throughout your journey, those things change from time to time, but you know, especially as we start a new year, you know how people make their New Year's resolutions and all that. Or anytime you kind of got a new beginning, I usually kind of default to like, all right, this is the year. Now, as I've grown in my walk with the Lord, I've realized that the case of the do-betters do nothing except make me more frustrated. So I wouldn't advocate that. But here's what we usually do. There's these certain things that tend to trip us up, like my tongue, trip my tongue up. There's these certain things that tend to trip us up. Some of those things can be large, what we consider as sins of the flesh or stuff that can really have consequences, sometimes devastating. Some of those things can be rather small or sort of trivial. Some of those things we can sort of over time sort of just learn to live with, sort of justify. You know, my bad attitude, you know, the way I snap at my wife, or, you know, a little anger, you know, whatever it is, some gossip here and there. You know, it's not that we're overlooking at it, it's just that it doesn't seem to be a big deal. But here's the thing, when you get into the presence with Him, isn't your heart's cry like, all I want to do is be like you? All I want to do is yield. I want to give myself wholly, fully to your love, Jesus. I want to not only be loved by you, but I want to love you back fully. And I believe you want to put your voice in me, the voice of kingdom authority. I believe you want me to be able to hear what you're saying and see what you're doing. To click over to Hebrews 12 with me, verse 1. Hebrews 12, we're going to get to Ephesians this morning, but I want to start off here with what the Holy Spirit recorded in Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says there, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Who likes to think about that huge crowd of witnesses? Like, man, who are those people? They're all those saints, all your loved ones, all who have loved Jesus, been born again, and gone on to be with Him in heaven. It's like, I think somehow, according to the scriptures, they must be able to see or have awareness of us and what's going on down here. And they're like cheering us on. They're like, come on, you can do this. Come on, it's your turn now. Here's the baton. Now run. You know, this huge crowd of witnesses. Here's the next thing that the Holy Spirit records. Let us strip off every weight. Say every weight.
Every
How many weights?
Every.
I think in the Greek that means all. It means every, right? Every single weight that slows us down. I mean, if you're going to be in a race, you need to lighten your load, right? I mean, you need to be race ready. Whether it's a running race or it's a car race or whatever it is, you need to make sure you're equipped properly. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Listen, church, in 2020, let me strip off of you some of those nagging things that are slowing you down spiritually. They're weighing your heart down. They're weighing on your mind. They're weighing on your conscience. Every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. I just want to say no more. That's enough, devil. It's enough of that nagging sin, whatever that is in your life, whatever the Holy Spirit is bringing into your heart, be encouraged. He knows and He's dealing with it today. He didn't come to condemn you. This isn't about shame. No, this is the opposite. It's about freedom. It's about freedom that's found in the love of Christ. He's coming to strip it off of us and let us run. Everybody say run. With endurance, the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. The reality is we're right there with Him spiritually. Ephesians says that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places beside the right hand of the Father. So from that position of being seated with Him, that's how this is going to happen this year. In your awareness of being seated, of your union with Christ, He's going to strip off this weight of these nagging sins. I think in one verse it calls a besetting sin. It's just what that is. It's that familiar thing that just tries to keep coming back. From your position with him, he's going to destroy that yoke.
Yeah, amen.
As I read through Ephesians and Philippians, Paul's letters to the churches, and then this is a few months ago, I got into James, who is the brother of Jesus, John, the apostle, all the Peter. You know, I realize it's notable that one of the common themes they all talk about is the ability to overcome sin through a consecrated life. And I found that there's practical instruction all through those letters. I think, man, Lord, I really want to pay attention more closely to this. And so this morning I want to just give you five things that I've just kind of pulled out of these that I feel like are these five, it's not like methodology. So when I say five ways, it's not like, well, do these five things and poof, you know, it's dealt with. No, it's more five revelation that I feel like the Lord gives us in his word for dealing with these nagging, besetting sins. Is that all right? In Titus 2, before I get into Ephesians, Paul, in a letter to one of his spiritual sons, makes this powerful statement from the heart of the Father. This is Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Down in verse 14, he goes on. He gave his life. Now listen to this. He gave his life. I mean, he gave his life. He bled and died. How? Why? To free us from every kind of sin. Yeah. I mean, isn't that powerful? I know that's like a dull moment, but it's not just that he paid the penalty. He gave his life to free you from this thing called sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. He says to Titus, you must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. Okay. Okay, Holy Spirit, I think I will. Let's find out these things that please God. Not just for our benefit, but for his. But man, you know, like the freer we get, the more alive your heart becomes. Yeah. All right, Ephesians 4. Flip over to there. Ephesians 4:17. And I'd encourage you in the next week or two. Ephesians is only a few chapters long. Read through the whole thing in one sitting if possible, or maybe two. It'd probably just take 30 minutes or so. But read through Ephesians and note, particularly on this topic of freedom in Christ from sin. This consecrated life thing is really powerful in Paul's letter to this church. And years ago, there's this Chinese pastor named Watchman Nee, sort of a legendary in the church theologian, spent a lot of years in prison. And he wrote a number of books, some of them from prison. One of them is kind of a commentary on the book of Ephesians. It's called Sit, Walk, Stand. And it's about that thin, sort of a booklet. And it's always, every time I read Ephesians, I think of Watchman Nee's revelation. Sit, walk, stand. Because in very easy, simple, short terms, as I mentioned earlier, in verse chapter 1 and 2 of Ephesians, sit. That's our position with Christ. Before we can do anything else in God, in our lives, we have to learn that we fight from a place of rest. Spiritual rest, right? Then after we're seated, we know that we begin to walk. That's Ephesians chapter 5. Walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. It's walking out this Christian life. And then Ephesians 6, having done all now, take your stand against the adversary, Satan, against the devil. Sit, walk, stand. And we're going to see as I kind of go through these five things this morning, I want to point those out to you as well. But let me just read this part right in the middle of Ephesians 4:17 through 32. He writes this, inspired by the Holy Spirit. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do. Now, for our context, Gentiles are non-Christians or unbelievers, right? For they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Now, let me just stop right there. Why does Paul and Peter and James and John, why do they even feel the need to keep telling the church to stop, to throw it off? Like, why is there a need? Like, why do they have to keep saying, stop with this way of life? Remember who you are. Stop doing this and choose that. Because the kids are making a lot of noise in the hallway? Everybody's like, I mean, I don't know. I'm really curious about this. Because I think from the first century on, born again, blood bought believers who have the Spirit of God in them still have this thing we call flesh. Still have it. The sin nature's been crucified with Christ. That's been cut away. That was buried in the waters of baptism, the Bible tells us. But there's still this thing called flesh. How does your flesh respond when you get tired? How about hungry? Hey, how about a mixture, hangry? Isn't that what they call it? How about stress? How about pressure? We're no different than the humans in the first century. That's why the Holy Spirit is continually saying, hey, it's like this. Remember who you are. Remember what's in you. This Christ in you, because He who's in you is greater than all that other stuff. So the key then is allowing that to rise up and rise to the surface and take over more and more and more. Yeah. To continue on, he says, so to throw off all this stuff, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Oh, I love that. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Then he goes on to list some certain things. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of it. How many people like to clean out your house? Like to declutter? It's one of my favorite things to do with all of our big family. Right before Christmas, we have to get rid of some stuff just to make room for the big bunch of new stuff that's coming in, right? It's like you just love to clean out that closet or the garage or the basement or whatever. This cabinet's like declutter. Was second Sunday of 2020. I feel like that's what Holy Spirit is wanting to do for us as a church, is He's like, hey guys, it's downsizing time. It's declutter time. I'm going to clean out. I'm going to get rid of some of this stuff that's only weighing you down from the past in order to make room for the goodness that I'm about to pour out. Instead, he says, be kind. This is the goodness to each other. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Who do you need to forgive today? Who do you need to start out a new year of just saying, Lord, what they did, I'm not excusing. It doesn't make it okay. But like you said, as you hung on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. They didn't know what they were doing when they did that to me. Who do you need to forgive? Go ahead and let the Holy Spirit go there. Go ahead and let that room of your heart be cleaned out today. Trust me, you're going to be better off for it. Just go ahead and let it go and let God come in and flood your soul with all the goodness and kindness of heaven. So here's the five things, and then we're just going to pray. Last time, did anybody get some good words in ministry time last week? I hope you did. We had a few different teams up here. We're going to do that this morning. Just have a ministry team up here to pray for you individually. But before we get into that, I just want to give you these five things of getting free from these nagging sins. Number one, and this is that being seated with Christ thing. Number one is accepting that the blood of Jesus is enough. Amen. Accepting that the blood of Jesus is enough. Sometimes I've beaten myself down so hard because I would just want to say, if I was listening to me preach this morning, but Matthew, you don't know. You don't understand how many times I've repented or how many times I've apologized and come groveling back. It's like, oh God, here I am again. Yeah, I know. I've been there. But here's the thing you got to understand. The blood of Jesus is enough. The blood of Jesus is enough for your past sin, for your present sin today, and all the sins that you will commit in the future. That's how far-reaching the blood of Jesus is. In Ephesians 2:6, he says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." On down in 2:13 of Ephesians, he goes on and says, "But now you who have been united with Christ." Okay, so here's that position. Visualize yourself spiritually seated in heaven right now, right with Jesus. Right with Jesus. That's where your spiritual position is. You haven't been disqualified. You haven't been left out. Why? Because right here, "But now you've been united with Christ Jesus," Ephesians 2:13. "Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him." How? Through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Christ. Through that spot, remember the Passover, right? That spotless lamb that was shed, and the law of Moses said to spread it over the doorposts of your house, and when death comes over, your house will be passed by. That is literally what has happened for your heart. When you made an acknowledgement, you put your faith in Jesus as Messiah, as the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God who was shed for all of your sins. It's no more. So people say, "Well, Matthew, don't you think God's mad at me for my continual lack of strength to overcome sin?" I don't think so, and here's why. Because when he sees you, he can't help but see his son. He can't help but see the blood of that lamb over the doorposts of your heart. Does that make an excuse for those things? Like Paul said in Romans 6, certainly not. It's not that that's a good thing. Those sins can't keep you out of heaven, but they sure can make our life hell on earth while we're here, can't they? So therefore, Jesus has even provided a way out of that. Number two. Here's what I believe it is. Turn to him and change your mind and receive his. Man, you say, "Boy, that sure does sound simple." Can it really be that simple? Yeah, I think it can. Why? Because from the very beginning, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for my kingdom is here now." What does that word, and we've said this a million times, I'll say it a million and one. What does that word literally mean, repent? It literally means change the way that you think about something and begin to think a different way. How is that way? It's literally Jesus' way. In Ephesians 5, it says this, Ephesians 5, 1, I know I'm skipping around. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. In Ephesians 5, let's skip down to verse 10. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, actually expose them. Now down to verse 15 for the sake of time. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with what? Hey, I was made to be intoxicated, just not with alcohol, with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I love the way that comes back to back. Don't get drunk, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what's the fruit of that? Man, he lowers inhibition so much that you start singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord, even when you might look crazy to some people. Like, no, like on the day of Pentecost. They're not drunk as you guys think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, the bar's not even open yet. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And what's coming out of them is like a gusher, a geyser of his goodness and his love. It's not that he says, just do away with sin and then good luck. He says, get rid of this stuff and then replace it with something. Yeah. What is it? It's himself.
Yeah.
It's with Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's the third part of the Trinity left here now. Jesus said in John 15, I'm going away and it's for your good that I do. I'm about to ascend to my Father. They're like, whoa, 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 where are you going, Jesus? He's like, no, it's not. Unless I go away, there's something better is going to come. Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will empower you.
Yeah.
Remember, empowering is not just for healing and miracles. The empowering is an empowering grace to get rid of sin and grow in the likeness of Christ. Isn't this good news? I hope you're happy this morning. I hope your heart can hear what he's saying to you today. It's goodness. It's get beyond judgment and shame. That's what Adam and Eve did, is they covered themselves and hid from God. God said, no, my son, my daughter, I paid the price. You don't need to do that. No, quite the opposite. Run to me. Run into my arms and let me give you what your heart is longing for. But here's, guys, let's just be honest. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes, little by little, over 20, 30 years of serving the Lord, I let these little things come in. These little nuances, these little compromises, these little things. And then I read through the scripture. I'm like, oh, even filthy language, coarse joking. I'm not trying to be. Let me offer a disclaimer. I am not a perfect person. My wife can totally testify to that. I still struggle with flesh and all those things. I'm not standing up here in a position of judgment. Quite the contrary. I want to stand here as a brother in Christ and say, let's consider what God can do with our lives. Yeah. Sanctified and holy as he is holy. We will see him in his fullness. The TV channel of the kingdom of heaven will come in HD 4K quality. However many pixels there are. The sounds of heaven we're going to pick up on in Dolby Digital surround. It won't be, hey, I hope I can get a word from the Lord. It's like, oh God, just pick one. God is always speaking. He's shouting. He's resounding his trumpet. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Quoting Revelation chapter 2. He said to the church of Ephesus, we're reading about them. He said, listen, I know your deeds. I commend you for all these good things. And he went on to list them, and they're very admirable things in Christians. He said, but I hold this one thing against you. You've forgotten your first love. You've fallen away from love. Those aren't condemning words, are they? No, it's like the bridegroom coming to the bride, us, his church, and saying, remember how you love me. That's why I felt like the message was preached through the songs this morning. We sang Nothing But the Blood. That was my first point. Accept that the blood is enough. And then Jesus, we love you. I mean, all the way through. I didn't really want to get up and talk about this prickly thing about sin, but I knew the Holy Spirit wants to go there. He wants to go there in your heart. Just let him. Turn to Jesus to change your mind about those little things that nag you. Repent and daily consider the mind of Jesus and take every one of your thoughts captive. Here's what I've discovered over my journey is it's daily. It's daily choosing. Okay, Jesus, I know the way I'm thinking about this is wrong. How do you think about it? All right, let me think about that. Get that in me. Then when those temptations, when those thoughts, whatever it is, when those things come, wait a second. I can identify this. This is trying to trip me up again. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me where I'm weak. Give me what I need. Did you know that when Jesus was in the desert back in Matthew 3, that as after he resisted, it says that angels came and ministered to him. That's always fascinated me. It's like, does that mean that there's angels that can come and minister to me? I think so, particularly even in this issue of temptation. You know, the Bible says you haven't resisted unto death yet. There's literally, if our eyes could be open, maybe they will be, to see there's ministering angels of heaven that are coming just to bring you messages of his hope and his love, to surround you with his peace, to resist those temptations. So number one, accept the blood of Jesus. Number two, turn to him. Change your mind. Number three, this is a biggie. This is one that I was reminded of and something I was watching this week. And the Lord has taught me to do this. It's ask the Lord why. What root in my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, all that, that's your soul realm. What root in my soul is causing me to return to this sin? What is it from my past, present, whatever? What is it that causes me, even when I don't want to, right? Even when I know that this isn't healthy, this isn't leading me towards light, what is this thing that tries to beckon me? Are you following me? Have the courage this year to ask the why question. Because, you know, here's what I found. Groveling doesn't help. Like, oh God, I did it again. How rotten I am, Lord. I'm just a worm. I come before your throne of grace with my lousy, stinking self. Please, if you can find me worthy, to take me back just as a slave in your house. And the heart of the prodigal father, if you're thinking about the prodigal son, he's like, that's stupid. Enough. Get up off your feet. I've given you the ring and the robe. Now remember who you really are. Walk back into your identity as a true son and daughter. Enough. Groveling doesn't help. Has anybody ever done that? You done that, been there, you got the t-shirt. You maybe blogged about it or something a time or two. Instead, ask why. Why, God? What is it, Lord? What are you trying to get into me? Into me see. Intimacy. Into me see. That's really all he wants with us is intimacy. Intimate love. It's not condemnation. He's saying, no, I see into you the best. Ask me. Why don't you ask me why? So once you do that, write down. Once you ask, listen. Write down and talk to him about what he says. Keep asking until you hear something. Once you hear something, go deeper into that and keep asking him more. Just like you would have a conversation with another human being. Keep asking him, Holy Spirit, why I've noticed like when I'm grumpy, I tend to like get sort of angry. Why is that? Holy Spirit starts talking to me. Okay, well tell me a little bit more about that. Why, whenever that happened in my life in the past, did I respond in this way? Then he says something back to me. Okay, well, Lord, show me where you were in my life in that room or in that situation. Allow him to go there and come into that room of your heart that's really the answer. Because, you know, here's the thing about most, not all, but most sin, it's not really the problem. It's rooted in something else, right? It's rooting in something far deeper. And God is coming to roots this year. He's coming to get to those roots of things. So regularly do that. Number four, after number three, asking why. This is where we come to walk in Ephesians. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Regularly invite the Holy Spirit to fill and refill you. We can never be too full of God. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's the promise of the Father. Jesus said that he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Start there. Start there. Holy Spirit, baptize me. I don't care if there's no one else in the room or if there's eight people laying hands on you. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, keep asking him to fill you. Every day, immerse me, fill me, refresh me, dip me, cleanse me, Holy Spirit. We can never be too full of God. Ephesians 3, go back a couple chapters. Ephesians 3:16 says this. I pray, Paul wrote. I love these because these are, when God's praying for us, we better pay attention. Those are powerful prayers. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. See, I told you, empowerment, resurrection power is not just for signs, wonders, miracles, and healing. Love that stuff. But it's empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. How many want God to make a home in your heart? Of course. The truth is you already have that. If you've been saved, if you've acknowledged Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you already have him as a home in your heart. But it's like the home's getting a facelift. It's getting a remodel this year. The home's being expanded. We're adding rooms onto the home by his Spirit this year. And number five is finally to stand. And here's how we do that. Read, meditate, and stand on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Start with the written word and don't forget to include the spoken words of God. Some of you received those through prophetic words last week or just words you feel in your heart God speaking to you throughout the week. Stand on the scripture. Here's what I wrote down in my journal. Like washing my hands or brushing my teeth is how a daily reading of the scriptures has been for me this past year. It washes me. I crave it every day. It's like, here's what I thought of. If I happen to get in bed at night and I've forgotten to brush my teeth, it drives me crazy. Is anybody like I have to get up and go brush my teeth and feel that minty fresh feeling before I can actually go to sleep. Now, why? Well, we know that the dentist says there's a reason for that, and we know the health benefit, but it's not just for the health benefit at that moment. It just drives me crazy. It's kind of like a daily life in the scripture. Is it not only is it a spiritual benefit, but it also will just wash you. It will cleanse you. And as you make that a daily habit and a routine, it becomes something that you almost just can't live without.
That's right.
There you go. If you need a a little strategy on that. We have this online reading through the New Testament together. How many have joined that so far this year? At least 15 or 20 people. Some of them are in this room right now. And all that is just a couple of passages from the New Testament on an app that we're using. And you can ask me afterwards. I can tell you how to get set up on that. And then at the end of the reading, there's a place, what is the Lord saying to you today? And you can comment on that. And then you can read what other people are hearing from the Lord and kind of, make comments back and forth to each other if you want. It's just a tool. Don't have to do that. In fact, I don't know if Sarah likes it all that much because she feels like it lets other people in on just her personal God time. I get that too. I actually do both of those because I just love it so much. But this time in the scripture, it's irreplaceable. I mean, you can't be stated enough. You know, and then people go, yeah, but I can never remember what I read. Well, you don't remember what you had for breakfast last Thursday either, but we know that it physically nourished your body because you got the sustenance and the calories that your body needed. So even if you read it and you forget it just that quickly, it's still doing something. I'm telling you, it's still taking effect.
That's right.
So what's the key? Let me end with Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Another translation says, so I say, walk in the Spirit. Okay? Walk in the Spirit or let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature or the flesh wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But you are directed by the Spirit. You're not under the obligation of the law. Here's what I realized. It says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. The higher percentage of time, I can be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. I'll walk in my true identity in Christ, and I ain't got no time for that. In layman's terms, walk in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be your morning, noon, and night. Let Him be your guide. Learn that He is your best friend. He actually cares deeply about who won the game last night. I mean, you think I'm kidding, but I talk to the Lord about stuff like this that you would think, God doesn't care about that. Okay, maybe He doesn't. But He cares about me. He cares that I care. He loves to hear just about what foods I like or, you know, the problems that the issues you have at work or whatever it is. Why am I talking about that? Because the more that you learn that He is literally there, He is there with you, He is through it, the more you learn that I can communicate with Him. And not only is it just me talking to myself and looking a little weird driving down the highway, but He is literally talking back to me. Because I'm getting freer from the things that hold me up from hearing His HD quality, surround sound voice. And I'm learning as a sheep that I do hear His voice. And that He does care even to share secrets with me. Maybe hidden for eons. Secrets of the kingdom. I don't know. He has all kinds of things to talk to us about. So you see, I believe for me, this is the positive spin on getting free from sin. Because I've found that I am motivated by the positive, not the negative condemnation. We're all familiar as, oh, woe to you, this woeful sinner. Now go and just don't do it again. I mean, that's fine, but it never helped me. That's the problem I have with it. Here's what helped me is the positives. They're like, oh, the more I let the Spirit rise and live with Him, the more I can hear the mysteries and the beauty and see the surround HD colors and all that He has for me. The more my relationships grow and are healthy and strong, the more that my children will thrive, the more that everything in my life is blessed, I will be like that Psalm 1 man or woman planted beside the streams of living water that never run dry. I'll be like that woman at the well that Jesus said, if you'll drink from me, you'll never be thirsty again.
Yeah.
Man, if you give me that option, who's got time for besetting sin?
Right.
Who cares about nagging sin? I know it's still there waiting to knock on our door. And honestly, until Jesus comes back, there will never be a lack. You know, we'll never completely get away from that temptation or that nagging. But I do believe there's a such thing as a victory in Jesus.
Yeah.
I do believe that we are filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He will set us free.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
You have anything?
How'd you know?
Because I know you. Yeah.
I just love Jesus. And they're part of the things that we've been taught. I was so glad he shared that about the washing. Because that, when he shared that with me, he was telling me, you know, just like we want to brush our teeth. It just was like, yes, that's it. We want to be washed. And what I feel like right now, too, that the thing that makes me fall more in love with Jesus is the fact that he's not afraid of our junk. He dives on in and he's like, I'm not afraid about talking about this. Are you? You know, he's like, he wants to converse. He wants to talk to us because he desires freedom. He wants us to be so free. He does want us to be able to love our spouses more. He wants to heal our hearts. He wants us to be able to love our children more. He wants to heal our hearts. He wants those things that have become a hindrance to us hearing and experience the Lord, those sins. He wants to come and give us breakthrough. And he wants to say, hey,
Jesus,
let me give you some wisdom on this. This is where this root was. This is, it came in here. And, and really, you think that this is going to fill this need in your life, but it's really a need that I want to meet. And just come to me and talk to me about this, you know. And I have learned that then I can turn and talk to my children this way. I mean, I'm a mom and this is what I love. It's because I teach them, look, we're going to talk about everything in this house. And if you have to go stand behind that door, I'm still going to talk to you about it. And we're going to have some open conversations about things. And we're just not going to be afraid of real conversations because God's not afraid. Our Father's not afraid. He tears down shame. He wants to just throw that thing right out the door and say, shame has no place.
That's right.
No place in my kingdom. No place with my children. And he's that much more passionate about his children. He's saying, shame, you're not going to have any place. Fear, you're not going to have any place in my child's life. And that's where I thought that thing that Tracy got, she kind of shared it in prayer last Monday. And when she shared it, it was like, oh, that's it. Is this God is looking for us to give him, what were you saying?
Permission.
Give him his consent. Giving him consent to come rescue us.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, that's so good. It's like he's standing here with the rescue boat and airplane and helicopter and everything.
Yeah.
But he's just waiting on our consent to say, yeah, Lord, go there. Go there. Come on in. Bring the rescue. I want to go there with you. I want you to come and rescue me. Set me free. And I feel like that's the heart of what Matthew is sharing. That's that heart of like, this is good. This is a good thing. Is that he's saying, I'm here with all the rescue that you need.
Yeah.
He's just saying, just give me permission.
Yeah.
Just give me permission. Yeah. So I think that's the way we can respond to the Lord this morning is by giving him consent. Giving him permission. And it doesn't even have to be, it can be, I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord, but I'm giving you permission to come do it. So if you want that, I just want to invite you to stand up. I want to pray for you. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything big. Don't worry about what people think.